You know, education, experience, personality can all be positives in the life of a minister. But really what truly makes a preacher of the gospel effective is his godly walk with the Lord, which means his Christ-like light. The Puritan John Owen said of this truth, a minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more. Well, Paul follows in this same vein when he enumerates the godly qualities of a true bishop, true pastor, minister of the gospel. And we see that those characteristics in verses 6 through the end of the chapter, chapter 4. This evening, I won't go through all these characteristics, but we do want to get started. And so I want to look at the first, I think it's 3 or 4 characteristics that God determines brings success in the ministry. What God deems necessary and vital in a preacher of the gospel. Now, having just discussed the presence of false teachers in verses 1 through 5 of 1 Timothy 4, Paul now instructs Timothy on the pastoral traits that should characterize an authentic, faithful, trustworthy minister of the gospel. And he begins in verse 6 by stating a genuine, valid New Testament minister is first and foremost a good servant. Notice verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And this heart is really the fountainhead for all the qualities, all the godly characteristics that follow. In other words, a good minister will be what Paul then describes. Now, what does it mean here by good, a good minister? Well, the apostle is saying such a servant is excellent, he's noble, he's admirable in his usefulness. In other words, a good pastor personally lives the truth. He doesn't say, just do what I say. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think that is so important that when a church looks at their pastor, they don't see duplicity, they don't see insincerity, they don't see hypocrisy. They really see that he too lives the life. That gives what he says then credibility. Now, specifically, what are some characteristics of a commendable, honorable, reputable minister of Jesus Christ? What qualities mark him? What grows out of such a servant? Well, verse 6 tells us a good minister counters the false teaching. And remember, he had just addressed the false teachers in the first 5 verses by warning the congregation of their error. Verse 6 tells us a good minister counters the false teachers, warning them of their error. A good minister puts the brethren in remembrance of these things. The Greek word for putting in remembrance has the idea of to remind, to suggest, to lay before. And the present tense used here tells us that the good pastor, the good minister, is continually warning his people of false doctrine, like that which is mentioned in verses 1 through 5, so that these believers are not like children tossed to and fro, here and there, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every deceitful error that comes from various platforms and pulpits around the country. I like what one author writes here, a pastor's heart is not measured by how good a man is at petting the sheep, but how well he protects them from wolves and feeds them so that they grow to be mature and strong. I think many pastors like to pet the sheep. But ladies and gentlemen, we need pastors that will say, these are the warnings that I need to give to you. I think of Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, which tells us a good pastor will not only personally develop strong biblical convictions, he will then preach and teach those beliefs, for again, he is the protector of his flock. Now, in order for him to be a proper watchman on the wall, he himself must know the truth, meaning he must be a faithful student of God's word. And here is the next quality of a good minister. For verse 6 says, a good minister of Jesus Christ is nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. And this last statement, whereunto thou hast attained, simply means which you have been following. Now this statement tells us the good minister continues to be a student of the word, meaning he studies to show himself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which then means he is firmly rooted and grounded in the truth to the point he is nourished up in the words of faith and doctrine. The word of God feeds, nurtures, and nourishes his soul to the degree that he can then effectively impart this inspired word, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness to others, so that the man of God may be what? Perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, the good minister feeds on the scriptures. He reads, he studies, he memorizes, he meditates, he obeys the truth to the point he can then feed and nurture others. Remember, a good minister can give out much truth because he himself is first taking in much truth, while at the same time he is avoiding unholy doctrine, which brings us to the next quality that characterizes a good minister. And that is, a good minister shuns false teaching. He exposes false teaching, he studies the word, and then he shuns false teaching. Notice verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. The Greek used here for refuse means to reject, to put away, which tells us the good minister guards his mind, meaning he saturates his mind with God's truth. He avoids foolish, silly myths that are really the doctrines of demons. And the reason he does so is he is unwilling to have his own spiritual strength dissipated by ungodly teaching, ungodly learning. Now let's be candid. Under the guise of academic, theological instruction, many a pastor's belief of the truth has been compromised and even destroyed by exposure to fables and false teaching, which tells me it is vitally important where a pastor gets his theological training, what books a pastor reads, who is his mentor. A liberal seminary or progressive authors will most likely turn a pastor's heart away from the truth, which he then will pass on to his congregation. And I say, how tragic. When a pastor stands before people, I mean, he has lots of influence. the congregation is giving the pastor a certain trust, and how vital it is that the pastor then is faithful to this trust, faithful to embark on a study of the truth himself so that he then can impart that truth to others. The truth is what gives people life. Baseball Chapel, they ask us each year when we fill out our form, do you want to come back? Are you going to continue working through Baseball Chapel, ministering through Baseball Chapel? They ask us, what authors do you read? They want to know the theological books that we are studying, that we are using. In other words, they want the truth of God's word, rightly divided, given to these teams. Now, the next godly quality of a good minister is he disciplines himself for godliness. Verse 7 says, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. The Greek word for exercise or discipline gives us our English words gymnasium, gymnastics. And it means to train, to exercise in a rigorous, strenuous, self-sacrificing way. The Greek culture, and you're probably aware of this, of Paul's day certainly emphasized physical training. Young people spend much of their time, especially from ages 16 through 18, physically exercising as they train for various athletic events, which makes the point a good minister like Timothy constantly pursues godliness. He continually trains his inner man for godliness. There is a certain spiritual exercise that he embarks on as he studies to show himself approved unto God. You know, it takes work. Those of you that have taught, those of you that have ministered, maybe through preaching, you know, it takes work to come up with a good message. I mean, something that makes sense, something that's true to the Word of God. I mean, if you're going to do it right, you just don't, at least for me, I just don't put down on a 3x5 card my thoughts. I mean, if I did that, that's probably all my thoughts would be on a 3x5 card. I need some help, you know? So it takes work, it takes exercise to really effectively minister the truth of God's word. Paul was telling Timothy to continue to train his soul, his inner man, for godliness. The Greek word for godliness expresses the reality of reverence and piety and true spiritual virtue. It refers to right conduct toward God, a love of God, wisdom regarding God. It is a hard preoccupation with holy and sacred realities. It is respect for what is due God. It is a heart for the truth of God, which certainly makes it the highest of all virtues. Again, spiritual exercise is so vital for self-discipline, which is a great key to godly living. But then on the flip side, a lack of spiritual discipline and spiritual exercise is a primary reason why ministers, why spiritual leaders fall into sin. I know you're familiar with these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this, beginning with verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fought I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if every man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Again, the key to Christ's likeness is a good minister pursues godliness, not success. If you don't remember anything else I've said tonight, a godly minister pursues godliness and not success. His ultimate desire is to one day hear from Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." His ultimate desire is to please the one who loved him and gave himself for him. As we continue to look at our text, does this mean a good minister entirely avoids physical exercise? We see in verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. What does that mean? Well, I think it means it does have some profit. Bodily exercise is helpful and is healthful. It is beneficial physically, and which is important for a strong, healthy body. And a strong, healthy body usually lends itself to a sharper mind. And that is in comparison to a weak, frail, infirmed body and dull mind. You know, I have a smartwatch. My wife wanted a smartwatch for our anniversary, so I said, when we were buying it, I said, "Well, do you have a special?" And they said, "Well, 2 for 1. So I said, "Well, I guess that means I'll get one too." But every once in a while, I'll get this notice to breathe. I don't know if I just don't breathe real deeply. I don't know. But I tell you, about throughout the day, I would say at least 4 or 5 times a day, I'm told to breathe. But it is important. I mean, it is important. It is beneficial to be healthy so that you can effectively or more effectively serve the Lord. You know, it takes energy, it takes strength, it takes mental clarity to serve effectively. And bodily exercise helps in that regard. What Paul is saying is, it is profitable. There is some profit to physical exercise, but it is limited in its extent and duration, which is saying it affects only the earthly life, while godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable for both time and what? Eternity. Physical exercise is profitable for time. Godly exercise is profitable for time and eternity. Cultivating godliness brings present benefits and blessed blessings forever. And so axiomatic is this truth found in verses 7 and 8 that Paul calls it in verse 9 a faithful saying, meaning it is trustworthy, credible, and authentic, statement that is worthy of all acceptation. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Friends, it is absolutely unapologetically self-evident that a good minister disciplines himself for godliness because of its present and eternal value. And so again, what is the first quality of a good minister? He warns people of error. Secondly, he is a faithful student of the word. Third, he avoids wrong doctrine. Sometimes I think especially so-called spiritual leaders want to, I hope this comes out right, want to be cute about their theology, and they end up really being heretical. You don't have to reinvent the wheel as a pastor. Just preach what the Bible says. You don't have to come up with your pet interpretation. Really, the Bible is very plain in its understanding. Your first and foremost theology book should be the Bible. You master the Bible. I mean, you learn what the Bible says, what the Bible says, not what some man says about the Bible, but first and foremost, what the Bible says, and you'll steer that congregation of people aright. And then, of course, he exercises himself unto godliness. He puts the time, the sweat, the effort into training himself so that he can in turn faithfully give to others. You know, you can't give what you don't take in. So you have to be faithful to take in. And then such a minister, a good minister, can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, which means he truly is a godly minister of the gospel.